Paso History and Heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Yes, indeed. Normally, we'll have the history moment. It's delayed a couple of minutes this morning. We'll get to that because you've got an interesting history moment, so we might as well just
Yes, it's very interesting.
But we were talking to Rick Quesada here after the just at the end of the last hour, and a caller had said that he was sure the Tiguas were volunteers to come to El Paso in the Pueblo Revolt. And his account probably come primarily, I would think, from the Spanish, Rick, wouldn't you think?
That is, yeah, that's correct. Yeah, not from the...
Not from the Tiguas.
Not from the people, no.
Well, the thing was there were three or so, I think it was like at least two waves, maybe three waves of people coming down with Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I would think that since the Spanish are the only ones who had guns, it might have been sort of like, you're going to go south, aren't you? Oh, yeah, I'm going south. No. Or you're not going to go anywhere, so you might as well go south. And I believe that was the proposition as I understood it.
That is correct. And then Otermin issued orders that anybody leave the camp here or the...
You mean in northern New Mexico?
No, here.
Oh, in El Paso.
It would be, you know, he would be shot or
if they tried to go back upriver.
Yeah. But there's a lot of evidence that a lot of my people actually escaped when they got here and they went up north.
Well, some people settled in Las Cruces, didn't they?
But that's after the Pueblo Revolt.
That's way after.
That's way after.
So just real quick, while we're looking at getting our history moment act together, the idea was in 1680 there was this huge revolt in the north. The people there were not, the Spaniards there were not aware this was coming. All the Native Americans were. And they set a date in the future when they were going to do this, and they tied knots in a cord and sent this cord around to everybody. And the Spaniards didn't know what that was and didn't think anything of it. The Indians all knew what it was. And it was calling for a revolt on a date certain, which happened to be August 10th.
1680.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened. And it took a week for that to occur. And during all that time, northern New Mexico was a bloodbath. The Indians were killing the Spaniards like crazy. And even though the Spaniards had the guns, the Indians outnumbered them and surprised them.
That is correct. And the advantage that the Indians had was that they're keen observers of their environment and especially of the Spanish movement. So they knew that the Spanish caravans coming in from Mexico City, that would probably arrive there every 6 months or so, scheduled to arrive within a couple of months, I guess. So they knew that the Spanish were low on guns, and they knew that the Spanish were low on ammunition.
Okay. And that was the time to do it.
That was the time to hit them, yeah.
Interesting. All right. Do we have a history moment here? We do indeed, because Melissa Sargent went to the trouble to put the darn thing together. We're going to run it, because the history moment is also an interesting idea that you do this for the El Paso History Alliance.
I start out in the middle, early in the week on those, and I end up all the way to Friday, because I start getting distracted. There's so much history.
Well, there's so many things you can get into.
Yeah,
so,
but, and it's hard to get it all squeezed into 1 to 2 minutes.
Well, you have an idea this time that was it was bold for its time.
That's right.
Back in the day. It's the first Catholic preparatory school for girls and young women in the Southwest. How did it get to El Paso?
We're going to find out.
Hit the button, dude.
The idea was bold for its time. In 1878, close friends and former Texas Ranger commanders Teleflores Montes and Gregario N. Garcia were community leaders and partners in the important growth of San Elizario, from a sleepy village into a growing economic force. A public school for boys had been recently established at Garcia's former residence, Los Portales. But Montes and Garcia, both fathers of young girls, felt that girls needed to be educated as much as young boys, an idea that was quite bold for its time. So in early 1879, they met with San Elizario priest Peter Bourgard, and it was agreed that the priest contact the Sisters of Loreto in Santa Fe and request nuns be sent to San Elizario to open the first Loretine school in Texas, St. Joseph's Academy. It would be the first Catholic preparatory school for girls and young women in the Southwest. Here they would receive a rigorous and challenging education in a supportive environment. Montes and Garcia's own granddaughter, Maria, daughter of Marina Montes and Carlos Garcia, was a valedictorian of her graduating class at St. Joseph Academy in 1892. This was the last class to graduate from the St. Joseph Academy in San Elizario before the academy was moved to El Paso. In 1923, St. Joseph's Academy closed, and the new Loreto Academy, a 7-acre campus, would open in Austin Terrace. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went online, and there you were standing there.
Standing there, twiddling my thumbs.
A nice piece there on the how did the Loreto Academy get where it is?
Yeah, you figure Texas Rangers, you know, that they, you know, at those days, they wanted to make sure their daughters were educated also.
Well, that's so how it goes. And you do this for the History Alliance.
Yes, I do. I do it for the History Alliance. If people are interested in getting involved, the History Alliance, the El Paso History Alliance, has a Facebook page. That is amazing. It has over 45,000, these last times. I'm sure it's probably more than that now, of people that go in and look at the historic pictures, learn about historic information, hear about the things they're doing to help preserve things going on here in El Paso. And if you'd love to get involved, we're always looking for more people that are interested in learning more about the history and getting involved. Call Bernie Sargent at 915-581-7920. And then do we ever mention Remember in El Paso When, the other wonderful Facebook page. Do we ever remember those
remember.
People?
I can't remember in El Paso. When was that? That's Barbara.
Barbara Given-Bainey and her crew over there. Who are we featuring this week on that crew?
This week, another administrator working with it is Jim Carlton.
Yes.
And they got a bunch of people. It's all volunteers. Oh. Rick Casada, you must have gone to this page on Facebook before. Remember in El Paso When? It's an odd name, but go check it out because
there's thousands of people
looking at that. But what they do is they have archives of
pictures,
stuff,
stories,
and it's stuff that you're not expecting history. To find. Because some people with their shoeboxes, they dump them on the line, they put them there.
And I'll bet you'll find pictures of the pueblo and everything down there too.
Well,
you'll be surprised.
Let's just challenge Barbara to put something up.
She'll put something up
on the pueblo. All right, Rick Casada is still in the house. We've been talking about all kinds of things, Tigua. There's been an argument, I guess, forever, that the Tiguas, some voluntarily came here. But maybe, what if some did, some didn't? So what? The majority of them were forced here by the Spaniards. It was a Spanish idea to leave northern New Mexico, and it was the Spanish, and this is a slight joke, but not really, the Spanish needed help in carrying their stuff. So they said, look at all these people here. Hey, you're coming to El Paso with me, and carry this while you're... And what they took was the grain... And the food and whatever else they needed to sustain themselves.
That's correct. And then, but initially the pueblos, which is the pueblo of Socorro, Senecu, and the pueblo of Isleta del Sur, weren't supposed to be permanent settlements here.
Oh,
The one who decided for them that they were going to be permanent here was actually. De Vargas, which was the he was a guy who actually reconquered New Mexico 12 years later after the Pueblo Revolt. So he was the one who actually decided, no, you know what, we're going to use these as stations or forts, so they're going to stay here. But the original intention was for our people to return back to New Mexico.
Have you heard the account, you probably have, of what happened when he went back up there 12 years after the revolt and tried to reconquest all of those pueblos? He went up there with a procession being led by the little figure of Mary, the little doll figure that they now have in that church up in Santa Fe. And it was that little icon of the Virgin Mary. And I understand that doll, I shouldn't call it that maybe, the icon, has a change of clothes, like 200 different changes of clothes. And so what they did, they led the procession going back up there with that little icon. And they said, we come in peace. We want to be in harmony. We want to recognize you. And they only had like two or three battles compared to fighting the whole group of them up there, because they came in peace and recognized them and then sort of lived happily ever after, kind of. But not quite as oppressive. Am I close?
Yeah, you're close. Yeah.
Well, what do you know about all that?
Well, there's a book, I guess, out there that I've kind of been reading. And it's, the title of it says, De Vargas, the Bloodless Conquest of New Mexico. And you're probably familiar with that. Yeah, we had small battles. Not compared like when Otermin, when they were getting removed from, you know, from what would become the state of New Mexico, but yeah, he was he treated the Pueblos different.
Kinder, gentler type?
Yeah, and with a little bit more respect on their...
good idea, huh?
On their viewpoints, political viewpoints and religious viewpoints.
Well, in the past, they didn't give a darn what the Indians thought.
Oh, no.
The heck, if you have an opinion, we don't want to hear it.
That's correct.
Now, all of a sudden, they gained some respect by kicking them out of New Mexico.
I think they learned from the fact that they were very powerful people, and if the only way they were going to deal with them is they were not stupid savages as they thought.
Well,
they were smart people, and they were going to have to deal with them on an intelligent level somewhat, I think.
Well, the King of Spain had the idea that he could go get some more taxpayers by doing this whole move in the first place. He funded Oñate, or Oñate gathered the funds, and the king approved it for him to go up there in 1598, came right through El Paso, named El Paso the city. He didn't intend to, but it turned out that way.
Yeah.
The cross in the river was El Paso, the pass across the river. We became El Paso because of Oñate. And so that all went up, and 82 years later, here they come running back down after having conquered the Indians, so to speak, and then the Indians conquered them, kicked them out. So now we're at 1680, let's say 82, and the guy goes back up and tries it again, and that guy who tried it for the Spaniards the first time to go back and reconquest, he was going to go up there and fight them, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Otermin.
Otermin.
Yeah, the year later. Yeah, he wanted to fight him. He was, I'll be honest with you, he was embarrassed. He didn't think that the Indians had the capability of defeating a Spanish armada. And they did.
Yeah.
And they did a second time.
And they beat him twice.
Twice.
1680 and in 1681.
So by now the guy's got it figured out. Like okay.
These guys know what they're doing. And he kind of helped them a bit, you know. He provided two things for them. First of all, there's a lot of different languages in New Mexico, among the New Mexico Pueblos. You got Tiwa, Tewa, and Towa. You got Eastern and Western Caries. Then you got Hopi, and then you got Zuni. But what the Spanish provided was one common language, which was Spanish. So they all communicated in Spanish with each other.
The Indians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then the other thing was that most of the Spanish, when they were fighting off, whether it be Plains Indians or Apaches, they would invite warriors from the Pueblos to help assist them. Well, they would assist them, but at the same time, the Pueblo warriors were taking notes and making adjustments.
Plans.
And they were planning, and they were basically being taught how the Spanish would fight. So when their time came, they knew their tactics, they knew their tendencies, they knew what they were going to be up to.
They knew where they kept their gunpowder.
It's called guerrilla warfare, is basically
that's correct.
But
yeah.
The Spanish were out to make a buck. These guys were out to save their lives.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Learning what your enemy is doing is exactly what they did. And they had no idea that they were that intelligent.
So if you ever wondered why you can drive around northern New Mexico and see pristine countryside and all of a sudden a casino, it's because that's Indian territory.
That's right. They
don't put billboards on their roads. But they do have casinos.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing we've not gotten into is talking about their arts and their cultures of the Pueblos, which has always transferred throughout the ages. And people think of like the blankets and the weavings and the pottery and such. And one thing that I was doing research on, and I brought that article to you, was about the type of clay that El Paso had that your potterers had. There were some very, very well-known potterers in the early days. And I couldn't remember that. You mentioned the woman earlier. From the 1800s, I saw a picture of her with a pot on her head. And it was the El Paso red clay that actually was very popular with the northern tribes because it was very easy to use. It didn't have a lot of potash content, and it was just a three-component clay that they used. And from what I knew, nobody knew where this clay was coming from, but it was somewhere in the lower valley. And it was kept a secret for a long time, so obviously you don't know where it is either.
It's called red clay.
El Paso red clay.
Huh.
I probably don't know where it comes from, but I know the people that know.
That probably know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
But
well,
you know, I think that's fascinating because they were asking for this up north, and they were actually taking the bowls that they were making here, and then they were painting on them up north. So I thought that was fascinating. These weren't hand done up there. Some of the Pueblos up north in New Mexico were using those to sell. But they were painting on them, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, fascinating, and that's. But you're bringing stuff. You're growing agricultural now. You were talking about the squash. You're producing that, also. But you do have potteries somewhat coming back. You do have a potterer that's there. Or?
Yeah, we have a potter there. A potter, his name is Frank Gomez.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have one of our language teachers is always a potter. His name is Richard Hernandez. And then we have a master potter there, pottery painter, and she's an elder. Her name is Irene Hernandez, and she does some awesome painting. I mean, she's been painting potteries for, I'd say, about 40 years.
It's for sale there.
It's through the cultural center, yeah. Right?
At the cultural center.
Oh, cool.
So we're bringing back pottery painting. We're starting up our own silversmithing, or restarting that.
Cool.
And then we, in the past 3-4 years, we've started to bring back the large-scale agriculture.
Good.
We started with a small plot at the cultural center this year. We have the traditional corn, beans, and squash.
That corn was 7 foot tall last Sunday.
And did you see that? Yeah.
We're
going to have an abundance of corn. And actually, that's the original corn that was grown here by our people.
Oh.
After the 1680 Pueblo Revolt.
So somebody kept the seeds in lineage and all that?
Well, we kind of got some of those seeds were brought here, were given as a gift by the Pueblo of San Felipe.
Oh, okay.
We had some elders that were very interested in our youth council. So we had a youth council here, and they mm-hmm. wanted to see how they could start up their youth council. We kind of had a little meet and greet with them, and they gave us, you know, they gifted us the seeds, and those are the seeds that are planted there.
That's a good place to put it, because I mean, the people come in, the first thing they see is this huge garden.
It's
Let's
huge.
Take one more call before we go to break here. We got to do some trivia questions. Talk to Marilyn. Marilyn, good morning. You're on the radio.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. Rick, I'm glad to hear you speaking today. So thank you, Jackson and Melissa, for bringing him on.
Sure.
So my question is about before the Spanish came. There's a lot of history before the Spanish came. And in particular, I don't know if you mentioned earlier Otero Mesa, the connection between the Tigua people, the Isleta people, and their territory beyond the pueblos where people were living. That's a whole huge area. I wonder if Rick could talk about that.
You mean like Waco Tanks?
I'm talking about where they went hunting, where they went gathering, different uses of the landscape, and how extensive that was.
Is that a post-1680 revolt?
No, this is before the Spanish came.
Oh, before the Spanish came. Well, we were up still in the north, and then our people would actually go on into East Texas and hit the huge buffalo herds up there.
Uh-huh.
So we would hunt. We would also trade with Comanches and Kiowas up there as well.
What else do you have in mind, Marilyn?
Well, in the Isleta Pueblo had the time exposures exhibit at the Tigua Cultural Center recently, and they had a little electronic display that showed that when they were living at Isleta Pueblo south of Albuquerque, they were coming as far as Otero Mesa to hunt and to gather.
Oh, okay.
And to do other subsistence-related activities. So I wonder if Rick knows about that.
Yeah, I know somewhat a little bit of it. As you know, Indian people are not tied to a certain boundary. If, say, for medicinal plant gathering, if there was a traditional or a certain plant that we needed and that plant was 300-400 miles away, we would, of course, go up there and get it. The same thing with our hunting patterns. I mean, we knew the seasons. We knew where the animals would be and which mountains they would be, and then we would go up there and we would hunt. And there are stories and there are histories that we came all the way up from the Pueblo of Isleta all the way down to the Otero Mesa, and there's actually archaeological evidence as well of that.
Cool. That's great.
Well, Marilyn,
that's something that we wouldn't ordinarily think about, you know, but it's an important part of the way people used to live and right. how far they would go away from, you know, their actual dwellings to, you know, find the things that were needed and were important to them.
They walked a lot.
Yeah, I mean, in our
yeah.
yeah, in our point, I mean, there didn't exist any political boundaries like today. You know, it was just land, and, mm-hmm. and if you needed something, you know, you would of course, you know, do it properly, and then you would take what you would, you know, need.
That's what we got, mm-hmm. Marilyn. Mm-hmm. You know, that lecture's coming up at the museum. You know that, of course.
Yes. And I don't know if you guys are aware that the museum is going to be closed from September 9th to November 16th. This is the Archaeology Museum. There's going to be major improvements to the building.
Oh, really?
Nobody told us, but you. Yeah. Thank you for telling us.
You told us.
Yeah, well,
so the Mogollon Conference is not going to happen this year, right?
Yes. There's the Mogollon Conference, and then there's the Hornada Mogollon Conference. There are two different conferences. So Mogollon is happening, and I don't have that on the top of my brain right now.
But maybe give me an email during the week. We'll put it on.
Email, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, check with Jeff Romney of the Archaeology Museum so he can explain to you guys the improvements that are going to be going on there and the dates and all that.
They should do an archaeological dig right in the museum. What do you think? No, don't go there.
Never know.
I'll explain the difficulties of that.
Oh, no, that was a joke. All right, talk to you again. Thanks a lot. You take
something
her.
Called boom. No,
boom. No. We're way past taking a break here. Let's do that right away. Call us if you need to, or did we do? Have we done enough anything here? We haven't done trivia.
Yeah, well, no, we haven't done trivia. Let's throw that out there really
should
quick.
Should we do trivia?
I think we should
all
do
of this,
trivia.
What do we care?
I don't know. You know, well, now that we just talked about this, the Tigua Potters were known throughout the Southwest for their unique native clay. What was the name of that clay? We just talked about
that. Oh, this is a hard one. And the other one?
And the other one, this is one I think a lot of people at this show know all about this one. And it's like any family, you always have feuds, right? Things go on. Back in 1994, there was a feud over a sacred musical instrument, and it was stolen from the Tiguas. What instrument was that? Now, this is an easy one because I made it multiple choice.
Multiple choice.
Yes. Was it a pan flute? Was it a guitar? Or was it a drum?
And those are the only choices?
Those are the only choices you have.
Shelly knows the answer.
She's waving.
You can't
behind
call
me. I can hear her waving.
You cannot call yourself. You can't do that.
So what was it? What was that special clay that the Tigua Potters used in this area? What was it called? And what was the musical instrument that was stolen from the tribe in 1994?
Two major questions. Lots of prizes.
Yes.
Yada, yada.
Call us
up.
At 915-544-5876 or 915-544-5876. ATSM.
This weekend, we'll be traveling to the intersection of Western history and pop culture. It's the place where Geronimo was born and Billy the Kid's mother is buried. It's where the 2007 movie There Will Be Blood begins. And it's where the 2001 movie Rat Race ends. It's where the famous Western scout and frontiersman Kit Carson first saw combat. And where Butch Cassidy and the Wild Bunch would escape to after pulling a job. It was said they were familiar with every saloon and soiled dove in town. And it just so happens to be where our hogs, better known as the Harley Owners Group, will escape to this weekend. By now, you probably know that I'm talking about the one and only Silver City. A place that was founded in the summer of 1870, shortly after the discovery of silver ore deposits in Chloride Flat. But before you can discover what Silver City feels like from the top of the greatest American motorcycle ever built, you need to discover BarnettHarley.com or see us in person at Barnett Harley Davidson. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
I tell you, when it comes to cars, I used to have nothing but trouble. Every Sunday, I'd take my family out for a push. So I go to the Rides Auto Group East location at I-10 in Yarborough, and I get a little respect. Speaking of little, you should see the prices on these things. They're amazing. My last car payment was so high, I didn't know whether I was buying a car or building a border wall. And on the subject of building, the Rides Auto Group specializes in helping people rebuild their credit if they've had a few bumps in the road. And they also offer GECU credit union financing on the spot. And I'm not talking about my dog. Spot. He was so ashamed of my last car, he wouldn't stick his head out the window. So give the Rides Auto Group a call at 915-629-7433, and you won't be treated like a number. Not like me and my last car. I asked my mechanic what was wrong. He said, your engine's cracked. I said, you're crazy. I want a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly too. So see the good people at the Rides Auto Group, where you'll get a lot of selection and a little respect.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
Celebrity. Since when is my dog a celebrity?
Say, folks, last month I told you all about the big savings during Mahindra Dealer Days. Well, I've got some great news. My good friends at Mahindra have extended Dealer Day savings into July. That means it is not too late to hurry into your local Mahindra dealer for incredible summer savings on Mahindra's subcompact, compact, and utility tractors, plus a full line of utility vehicles. And Mahindra's long-lasting powertrain warranties still come standard. So if you missed out last month, don't wait another day. Care for the land you love with the tractors and UTVs that I recommend Mahindra. To learn more about the world's number one selling tractor and huge dealer day savings, visit MahindraUSA.com.
Take advantage of rock-bottom prices and test drive a Mahindra today at Goodman Ag in Las Cruces or visit GoodmanAg.com. That's GoodmanAg.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
This hour, we're still talking Tigua Indian history, and we have an Indian tribe, and if you're not in El Paso, you don't. Ha-ha. So there. But the thing is, we got a full slate of callers here, George, Emma, and Carlos, and they think they know the answers to these trivia questions. So we'll get to them in just a second. However, I need to tell you, it's coming here. Next week is going to be a little bit of an interesting controversy, perhaps. We talk with an author who wrote the book, Abraham Lincoln and Mexico, that's the name of the book, detailing the relationships between Benito Juarez and President Lincoln. Dr. Michael Hogan is the author, and we will also be welcoming Cindy Medina, who is going to be in the studio. She helps to promote the book. Dr. Michael Hogan will be by phone out of somewhere in a secret location in Mexico. And it's only secret because I just don't know where it is.
That's right.
Plaza Classic Film Festivals, Doug Poland, July 21. Bernie Sargent back in the house on the 28th, talking about pioneers of El Paso. August 4th, oh, get this one. Now, this is going to be a bit unusual. A new book about life in El Paso with many an unusual personal story about the world of a Mexican-American family with a German name on the border here. Wow. What happened to these people? Well, the book is called On the Rio Grande, Stories of My Life on the Border by native El Pasoan Joe Lewels, L-E-W-E-L-S. And he said he's as Mexican as you can get, but he's got a German name.
So it'd be Joel Lewis.
That's him. But on August 11, we got Concordia Cemetery, Patricia Kidney, as always. So we got a full slate of stuff coming
stuff
up here. What
going
do you
on.
Got?
Okay. What do you got? Well, I was talking about the camps at the El Paso Museum of History. They've got some wonderful camps for ages 8 to 12. They've got Learn History Through Music, Folk Tales, Legends, Myths of El Paso. Now, there's some history, getting back on the history. Mission Trails and Conquests.
Who's doing that?
This is the El Paso Museum of History.
Oh, good.
They've got the history of inventions, from prisons to film and acting out, playing, learning your history, and improvising.
Oh, what are the gunfighters?
Well, that's in the evening. This is for kids. This is from 8 to 12. Then from 11, 15 years old, they've got storytelling through photography. That's just another great thing. Storytelling through photography and capturing moments. Storytelling through photography and producing your own videos. So they got some great things.
I want to be a kid and go to this camp, you know?
Well, you could probably teach them a few things.
Well, I just want to go attend. All right, we got callers here. We got questions here. Let's talk to George. George, you are on the radio. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I've got an answer to the second question.
I know you. Yeah. Your name is George Sanchez, is it not?
Oh, I was going to say Jorge Sanchez, but that's okay. George Sanchez.
No, we have...
Can't disguise your voice.
I have voice detection in my brain. I know who you are. Go ahead. Go ahead, y'all.
Okay, so the dancing... during the tribal feud at the Tiguas, what musical instrument was stolen from the tribe?
It was a drum, and I'm not sure if they ever got it back, but it was a drum.
Okay, answer is drum. We're not going to talk about the politics, I'm guessing.
No, but they did get it back, didn't they?
Yeah,
I do have another comment for Rick and for you guys also.
Well, sure.
I haven't heard him say about the Isleta Mission Festival that they're having. Because I've been listening since the show started. Maybe he did mention it, or maybe you did mention it, but I haven't heard it.
What are we talking about?
Festival is happening this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That is correct. No, I didn't mention it. The Isleta Catholic Church is having their annual Guermes or bazaar this
Raise money for the mission?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Cool. And that's always good Catholic
so
you fun,
go,
you know?
Go to that festival, and you also go to the cultural center. So they got both things going. They're right down the street from
All right, George, you won yourself something here. What was it that you won?
I want to go eat at Kiki's.
I knew that. I knew you would do that.
Kiki's.
Because you know what that's like out there. Whether you know how to pronounce it or not is your problem. But
I'm glad he's insulting the language, not me.
Oh, yeah. Well, he can do that. All right, George, you got yourself a coupon, let's call it that, to Pepe's.
Pepe's and Caño,
Pepe's.
Too.
Oh, okay.
New Mexican food.
If you could contain yourself, we'll have Shelly tell you how to pick it up, all right?
Alrighty, thank you.
Take care, George. Bye-bye. George.
Give that man something and make him go away. No, he's all right. Let's go now to Emma. Emma is on the radio. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning. I enjoy your program so much. I just got in late in your station.
Oh.
I'm going to try to get it, I guess.
Okay.
I think you were talking about the famous red clay.
Yes, but what's the name of it?
I don't know.
Oh, well, she got red clay. I'll give her that.
Should we coax her through it?
Yeah.
Where is it from?
Yeah, where's this red clay from?
It's somewhere down there in this letter, but you said it was a hidden area. Nobody knew where it was.
What county is it in?
El Paso County.
Yay! Jeez.
Blew her ears off there.
We have to almost make it.
It's the El Paso red clay.
Fair enough.
Okay, I just want to say this. I'm an old citizen, born and raised here for a long time. I'm in my 70s. But I'm amazed that there's so much history that I do not know, and a lot of us do not know. But because of your program, we're getting to know about all these beautiful, beautiful historical events and people, and we're so rich in history. I mean, I really commend you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Let's put it in a series of programs on TV or whatever. Let the whole world know who we are.
Well, I got news for you. We have a plan to do just exactly that on TV. And at this point, I'll just say stay tuned.
Okay. Well, I'll be a volunteer because I love El Paso.
Well, Emma, thank you, Emma.
All right. Now, did we give her a prize
No,
yet?
No. We have videos left, and we've got the El Paso Gold videos. We've got Legends of El Paso's Mountains, Mount Cristo Rey, Ghost Stories 2 and 4.
Emma,
are
have you seen Cristo Rey? You know what that video's about? Emma.
I used to call before, so I've got about 5 already.
Okay, so you already know.
I'll take the Kiki's coupon for
you. Oh, we already gave that one away.
Okay.
It's not Kiki's. It's for Pepe's.
It was Pepe's, but it's gone for this hour, so you're stuck with the video. What about the smelter?
Okay, smelter, let me see, Cristo Rey. No, something more about the Indian cross. What do you have?
Go down to, I can't see the titles.
Yeah,
Tell you what, maybe Shelly can work this out with you off the air, okay?
Yeah,
thank you very much for calling. Shelly, there's another caller coming on here. Hold on there.
Okay,
that was
so
Emma.
Stay with us, but thanks for listening.
Emma gets a video, and Carlos is now on the radio. We got Carlos. Hey, Carlos.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're okay, dude.
I always look forward to this program every Saturday.
Well, thanks.
Awesome.
Thank you for ringing up. Now, we're out of questions, but we could make one up, or you could make one up. If we like how you make it up, we'll give you a DVD.
Yes, I thought I had the answer for the drum, but, I got a question, trivia. What year were the Tigua Indians established in Isleta?
What's the first part of that question?
What year were they established?
What year were they? Let's see if Rick Quesada can answer this question. And if you answer this, Rick, we'll give him a DVD. What year were the Tiguas established in Isleta?
1681.
Hey, we're going to take it because Rick said so. We don't care what the answer is. No, it is 1681. But all right, we'll give you a DVD. Let me put you on hold here. Shelly will tell you how to pick one up, all right?
All right, thanks.
Carlos, thanks for playing here. Shelly, we got another one on line three. And line three gets a DVD. We are now going to Roberto. Roberto, good morning.
Yes, I don't have a trivia, but I have a comment about the Tiguas. Back in 1990, there was an article in the El Paso Times that the Tiguas are claiming that they own most of the Far East El Paso, all the way to Hueco Tanks. They were in litigation with the government or something like that. And then I never heard anything about that.
I think it was on our original land grant that we were pressing our title to the land up there.
So is it still in litigation, or is it just
I think
just
it's
a story?
No, I think it's still in litigation.
Okay, because I think you're going to – I got my house over. I think you own my house.
No.
Get it back for a good price, dude. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, because they even had a map of all the land that they were claiming.
Mm-hmm. Well, Carlos, real quick, roll it back into history, and they were given a land grant. It was several, like a mile all the way around the, was it 2 miles? 3 miles. Three miles all the way around the mission, and then people started just taking it away from them. In northern New Mexico, they didn't take it away from them. That's why you see those Indian reservations in the north.
But this map showed almost all of the east side.
Well, at the time, it was just blank land, the time they owned it, so. Yeah. Just think about that. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you again.
All right. And Emma, call back.
Yeah, you need Emma to call back.
Somewhere.
All right, fair enough. All right, we got to move on, take another break, or Sergio's going to go freaky in there.
Yes, he is.
Shall we do that? 544.
5876 or 544-KTSM.
This is an announcement for all people who want to take a risk-free challenge to whiten their teeth in 5 minutes. By calling now, you can whiten your teeth in 5 minutes using clinically proven power swabs. This risk-free challenge is for people whose smile has been yellowed by coffee, tea, red wine, or smoking. The Power Swabs 5-Minute Challenge is available by responding to this advertisement. If lines are busy, try again. Because the Power Swabs 5-Minute Challenge is exclusive, it's not available in drugstores. Power Swabs was formulated by Dr. Martin Ginniger and whitens teeth with a patented tooth detergent and whitening agent. It's so effective, we challenge you to try it for 5 minutes to see how white your smile could be. Get it risk-free. Dial 1-800-360-2357. That's 1-800-360-2357. Transform your smile into a wow, you look great smile. Dial 1-800-360-2357. That's 1-800-360-2357.
If you own a gun for protection, you need to know the law. On July 12th, U.S. Law Shield is presenting an exclusive gun law workshop at El Paso Gun Exchange, where you'll be able to get answers about gun laws that affect you, including carry laws, search and seizure, and more. Go to uslawshield.com to choose a seminar in your area. Visit uslawshield.com and select seminars.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
What we have for you now is what's going to happen this week only in El Paso, Inc.
The Black Klansman, an El Pasoan's true story of infiltrating the KKK, is headed to the big screen.
Also in the Inc., a former Mexican president is visiting El Paso, the first to do so in 50 years.
9 El Paso startups graduate from entrepreneurship bootcamp.
El Paso's locally owned business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
Go online to elpasoinc.com to subscribe.
This week only on ABC 7 Extra. Summer's here and families are rushing to parks and splash pads. What's the best way to stay safe and manage the heat threats? ABC 7 Extra guests are Nicole Farini, Community and Human Development Resiliency Director. Ooh, Resiliency Director with the City of El Paso. Tracy Novak, City's Park and Director, Parks and Rec Director. There's a cast of thousands on here.
Yeah.
Dr. Bert Johansson, Pediatric Intensivity. What is that?
Intensivist.
Intensivist.
Yes.
A pediatric intensivist.
Intensive care.
I got lost in that one. Children's Hospital. Anyway, what's your line?
Join ABC7 Saul Sainz Live Sunday nights at 10:35 only on ABC7.
All right, Rick Quesada's here. I think, Rick, we stirred them all up again. We got Jorge back. Is this the same Jorge back here? What's up, Jorge?
Yeah, it is, Jackson.
What's up?
I wanted to follow up on a point you made with regard to the land grant. You mentioned that it was 2 to 3 miles extensive from where the mission was. And I wanted to ask Rick, was it then coincidentous with the school district within the city that the land grant was? What were the perimeters of the land grant that now exist within El Paso itself? Could you mention that?
Yeah, the points of the original 1751 land grant are... one is located at the corner of I-10 and Lee Trevino. The other one going east is located almost at the corner of I-10 and Horizon Boulevard. The other one is located next to the, almost near the Juarez Airport. And then the fourth one is located just across the river on the Zaragoza port of entry.
Thank you. You helped clarify my cloudiness. Thank you, Rick.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Take care. All right. Moving on here. What do we got, Shelly? I got no more callers. Let's talk to Rick Quesada because he's sitting right here. Well, Rick, the whole interesting thing of Isleta has stirred up people. And these callers are correct. No one tells them this in their school. And that's one reason why we exist on this radio show. But I appreciate you coming in here and helping clarify. If someone just joined us and they said, oh, they're talking Tiguas. I wonder what that's all about. How would you summarize who are the Tiguas? For someone maybe that didn't hear the first part of the show.
I guess the Tiguas are a Native American tribe who were forcefully brought here by the Spanish in 1680. We've been able to manage or maintain our language, customs, traditions, and most importantly, our ceremonies and our way of life.
And have done so, as I understand it, in my research, because I was working on the videos for you guys, and I went to independent sources. I wasn't told what to research or what to come up with as a conclusion. I worked with Nick Hauser, who is also the same kind of guy. He'll work with you guys and tell you stories you need to hear, but he won't tell you anything incorrect.
That's correct.
So, I mean, that's the whole point of doing a documentary. So I went out looking for all this stuff, and I found out that the Tiguas not only existed and were known, but they were then oppressed and persecuted because we don't like Indians back in the day.
That's correct.
That was the attitude. Tomas Silvas. I interviewed Tomas Silvas. Now, he was the guy who used to do the bread.
Yeah.
At once upon a time. And I'll tell you a quick story about Tomas and his attitude about growing up Tigua in Isleta. And his major concern was, he said, well, I got to tell you, when I went to school as a kid, I walked to school, and even the Mexicans, is the way he put it, even the Mexicans hated us. And that's how he put it. He said, you know, the white people had a problem with the Mexicans, the Mexicans had a problem. And all that racism crap, I think, is gone. But that's the history. And that guy's still around. I mean, this is a fellow who was a little kid, and that happened to him in the 30s and 40s.
I mean, that guy, he actually works. He's part of my staff.
Oh.
So he's a consultant. He's a cultural consultant.
Well, he doesn't do the bread anymore, does he?
No, he doesn't do the bread anymore. But he does a lot of cultural consulting. He's got a lot of, you know, a lot of good traditional history on the Pueblo.
And he was calm about it. He wasn't angry.
No.
But he was very matter of fact. This is how it went.
No.
And so if you can accept that and understand that that's how the Tigua Indians have had to live in Isleta, then you get the idea who they are today. And so you shouldn't really wonder, like, why sometimes they look at you like, who are you?
he seems like, because I've talked to him before, and he kind of looks like move forward. We need to go from here forward. We are who we are. We're proud people. Let's go on.
We're not going to forget.
Become the best.
We're not going to dwell on the past, but we're not going to forget it either. So, you know, when we get where we're going, you know, be nice and you can go with us.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting ride there to watch the Tiguas since I came back to El Paso, because as a child, I was never told they existed in the history. And when I grew, I left El Paso at age 18, came back and said, there's an Indian tribe here? Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard about them. What's that all about? And see, that's the history we need to teach people. All right, taking a break here. Shall we do that?
I think we should do that.
We have a flurry of phone calls. Anybody on Facebook looking at us?
Well, I'm working on getting Rick's picture up, so I haven't really looked lately. So
okay, we'll take
I'll
a look
get,
in
I'll get
a minute.
Him up there, and then I'll look.
We'll take a break and come back in just a moment.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. 20 years ago, when my mom had lung cancer, she didn't have many choices. But today, you do. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer, please visit standuptocancer.org/lungcancer to learn more.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We've decided that maybe the phones went a little crazy. I think Shelley pushed too many buttons at once, or I pushed too many buttons at once.
Yeah, it's that steam-powered phone we've got.
Well, you know, you have an issue when you push the button and let go and it flies up in the air. And that happened twice over here, so I think I'm done with phones today. Maybe next week we can start up again. But, okay, Rick Quesada is still in the house here. We'll take a call if you want to try it, but that's up to you. Rick, the idea of being an Indian tribe in a world that you find, you grew up in it, so you sort of knew it as you grew up. But did you ever step back and look at that and say, what in the world's going on here? Why are we who we are, and how did we get here? I mean, you know the Spaniards brought you. But when you become a Tigua, you're different than the rest of the crowd down there. And I say that in a positive way. How do you feel?
I mean, I feel proud of what I am. You know, that's something that I was born into. You know, I remember going to the feasts when I was a little boy. You know, my grandmother and my mother used to take us, and man, it was just the pride of being part of the Pueblo. And I remember being a little kid going up to the feast on feast day, June 13th, St. Anthony's, and going up to the church. Outside the church, and then I was about maybe like 8-9 years old, going up there, and then the war captain, giving us the traditional war paint, and that made me feel like, man, like Superman, man, I'm part of
something special.
Yeah, that's the kinship ties that we all there at the reservation that we all have. You know, we're all related one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But I mean that once you receive that war paint, whether you're a male or a female, man, that's something special.
Well, I thought I'd ask that because those are the interviews I did, and that's what I was hearing back in the day. I did interviews with your tribe people, mm-hmm. and it's a matter of personal pride here, and it's a matter of almost corporate pride, I guess, community pride, mm-hmm. which I don't find that in a lot of places in El Paso, but I found it in the Tigua. So. All right, we have a caller here named Bob. Bob, got you on the radio. Good morning, Bob.
How you doing?
Morning, Bob.
Morning. With the Pueblo Revolt, a group of Tiguas stopped at Tortugas, New Mexico, right south of Mesilla. And Tom Diamond found out about them, went there, and found that he asked about their land grants. And were told that they were given title from the state of New Mexico, and that Colonel Fountain had handled it for him. He was a friend of the Tortugas.
In Las Cruces. They gave him land in Las Cruces, right?
He gets badmouthed a lot about the Tiguas, but he helped the Tiguas in that Tortugas, and they're still there and still practicing some of the same rituals and with dancing and food and everything that the Tiguas in El Paso.
That's interesting to know. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Bob.
All righty.
Thank you. You take your easy. Any thoughts on that? I mean, the Tiguas, as I understood, they came to El Paso with the Spaniards, and the ones in Tortugas went back up and resettled. Bob says they stopped on the way down.
No,
I doubt the Spaniards would allow that.
No. They were brought down here in 1680.
There was another, by the way, there was one more mission that was established that's now been blown away by TxDOT, and it was called La Salineta. And it's up not too far from Pepe's on Cañatillo. Mm-hmm. And it was a sort of an inlet from the Rio Grande that went up to the mountain, and they settled around it.
La Salienta?
It's something like that.
Yeah, that was actually, from what I know of, that was the first stop that the Spanish did in 1680, and that is where they officially got the first census of all the people that came down here in 1680. That's where we actually get the count of the 317 Tiguas that were brought down. And La Salienta was the first census after the revolt.
If you go looking for it now, you'll find that TxDOT landed right on top of it, and whatever was there is gone. And the reason we can still find it is you go up on the next level of property, you can see pottery shards everywhere from the ancient days. And so that's a whole other issue. Rick Quesada, we thank you for coming in here. We got about a minute and a half left. What would you like to tell people of El Paso? Maybe some people, like I said earlier in the summary, didn't quite hear everything. What should people know about the Tiguas?
Come down and visit us at the Cultural Center located at 305 Yaya Lane. We have a brand new exhibit that highlights 29 panel exhibit that highlights the history of our people here in the El Paso area. Come down and pay us a visit. We got shops. We got a nice garden in the patio. We have traditional social dances by our youth dance group held. Every Saturday and Sunday, and the schedules are from 11, the first three performances, 11, 1, and 3.
And you're going to have bread soon.
Yes, we are.
Okay, good. Are you going to put in a vineyard down there so we can have wine and bread someday?
Ooh, there you go.
Someday.
Another
ooh,
one. Ooh.
that's the one you should be working.
Back in the day, the Tiguas were huge on apricot brandy and wine and all that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a little bit more for the priest. I think that's how that went. But anyway, Rick Quesada, thank you kindly.
A little more sacramental wine, yeah.
Thank you for coming in, Rick Quesada, and thank you for what you do for the Tiguas and for El Paso history.
Thank you.
Everybody else, next week, Melissa.
Next week, I'll be here.
Back?
Yes,
come
I
back
will.
And do this again, and we're going to talk. Oh, and some of us are going to go to the block for lunch today.
The block.
Because Mr. Pepe is on vacation. Next week, we'll probably be back at Pepe. Everybody else, ephistory.com for details about the radio show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.